Joining Express Yourself today is Heather Hoeksema. Heather is an architect and author, but she calls herself a composer of sensory experience in multiple mediums and many genres. She is an observer, writer, and maker of music. Heather published a book last year called Singular Butterfly, Verse 3-3, and she visits Express Yourself today ahead of a reading and book signing next week, Thursday to be exact, at Explore Booksellers in Aspen. Heather Hoeksema, welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Luke.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
The Singular Butterfly. Now, is this the fabled butterfly that starts a hurricane that crosses the ocean and wreaks havoc?
It could. It very well could.
Really?
It can do the opposite, though, according to the theory. And so I kind of, in the book, I distinguish between the modern butterfly effect, which is the one that does induce chaos, and what I term the holistic butterfly effect, which is the inverse.
And how is that a real being, or is it a sort of metaphor?
Well, a lot of people consider it a metaphor, but when we look at how everything is connected across the molecular fabric, it can be seen it can be understood in a real way, I think. I mean, everything we do has cause and effect, and what's amazing to me about the butterfly is it's one of the most humble. Humble creatures in nature, but it actually has the most amazing effect, specifically in nature and within the architecture of nature. It induces biodiversity more than perhaps any other creature, in that the architecture of its wings allows it to fly because of its lightweight wings. It's this flying insect that can fly across continents. So I think in some respects it's a metaphor, but not really, because it actually can carry pollen from one field of flowers all the way across a continent to another field of flowers. So when our flowers are stimulated with this foundation of biodiversity, that means our fruit is. When our fruit is, that means our food is. And that means that everything stays in balance a lot more. So I think that's where the metaphor actually becomes possibly more real than anything around the planet.
Well, I always appreciated butterflies for their incredible strength, for such a tiny little creature to travel thousands of miles, being buffeted by storms and wind and tornadoes and hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And their wings, the way that they're structured with this kind of balance of flexibility and balance of strength, their energy efficiency is fascinating. And it's really something for us to understand on multiple levels, even down to like the crystalline structure of the protein molecules in their wings. Their wings interpret color in two very different ways, one from the structure of the microtubules that are actually breathing tubules, which create the infrastructure of their wings, which are flexible and round. And then the wings also, the tiny, tiny scales on their wings interpret color by way of a pigment. So, I mean,
is that why butterflies are so colorful?
That's why they're so colorful, yeah.
Huh.
I mean,
interesting.
But they're colorful for a lot of reasons too. They need to blend with nature. Nature allowed them, gave them the magic of mimicry, because they're sensitive. They aren't killers. They have to protect themselves. So.
Well, they also have in their favor the magic of transformation.
Yeah. Translation. Yeah.
Do you call it translation?
I do. I'm careful as an architect. I've always been careful about using the word form. And the word transformation is a very common kind of word that people use right now. But and it's used a lot in describing the metamorphosis of the butterfly. I use the word translation partially because a lot of my work is about linguistics and communication and understanding. And I think that there's an inherent flexibility in that word. And I actually, in the book, I distinguish between the word form and the word shape. form is more of a fixed thing, and in the world of civilization and human architecture, we use form to really describe those things that are permanent. And the way that the butterfly moves is almost the antithesis of that. They're constantly moving in this flexible kind of, their wings move in this amazing figure eight shape, and it's continuous and fluid, which is their gift. And so I use shape to describe their wings and to describe things. It's a minor difference, but to me it's kind of everything. So translation then becomes my linguistic, I'm going down a wormhole right now, but it becomes like my linguistic substitute for, okay.
Well, I sense a lot of wormholes in your book. I mean that as a compliment.
Okay,
it's,
thank you.
No, it's dense. I haven't gotten very far into mm-hmm. it yet, maybe just a third of the way, but I did discover enough to read enough to discover that you talk a lot about, at least in the early part that I've seen, mm-hmm. In relation to butterfly flight, mm-hmm. fluid dynamics. And mm-hmm. it sort of seemed like the contention was, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the butterfly is uniquely placed or evolved maybe to practice those fluid dynamics in a way that rebuilds the ecosystem. It gets kind of esoteric, but is that fair? Is that what you're talking about?
It's esoteric, but is it that simple even too? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, and we just ignore it and have ignored it as humans for centuries when it's the most obvious lesson we can learn in so many ways, you know?
Huh.
Just kind of look at everything around us. I think humans, civilization has been defined by way of humans distinguishing them from nature. It's almost some delusional pride or something. And
Western world.
Yeah,
I don't
Western
know if you can
world.
Say that about indigenous or
right, right.
a lot of Eastern cultures.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that sort of your point?
Yeah, uh-huh. it is. I mean, I was born in Phoenix in a Native American hospital, and when I was a baby, had a Native American caregivers, and I always feel like somehow, maybe in some magical way, when they were singing their daily ritual songs to me while they were holding me, that they like showed me what natural love was. And now I can't.
Oh,
now I'm kind of like lost in the modern world because being this like Caucasian woman running around pretending to be an architect of civilization. Yeah, it never really made sense to me. And now I'm wondering maybe that's the reason.
is that why you picked up your guitar?
It is, yeah. And then I kept picking it up, and I kept picking it up more and more. And then I started, you know, tuning it to the 432 hertz, which I
yeah. Tell me more about that.
So I discovered in my research there are certain relationships between natural harmonics and the human body, and how the human body can harmonize naturally. And there's reasonable evidence that suggests that the solfeggio frequencies and maybe even the decreased harmonics of 432 hertz aligning with the A note versus the 440, which is the Western modern standard, that the 432 hertz actually aligns with our body's frequencies. And there, I did a lot of research on it to be convinced enough, but I think that the ultimate convincing thing was that when I tuned my guitar to that, even though the frets get in the way a little bit, it's easier to play aligned with those harmonics like on a violin where there aren't frets, but I just, every time I had, like, I was nervous about something or worried, I'd pick up my guitar and I'd be singing, and the vibration of the body of the guitar against my body just made me feel better.
Huh.
So to me, that was my most convincing research, but the math is out there, and it's actually pretty strong math.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to deny, the hard to deny math kind of thing, you know. That relates to the energy centers, you know, that the Hopi Indians and the South India Indians also, you know, studied in relationship to natural harmonics, and the ancients understood, and then, you know.
Well, this visit, you were here last fall, and you're on your way to Telluride and then Sundance after this mm-hmm. weekend, right?
Yeah.
And I know that you had a couple of gigs back then, and you have your guitar with you.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to the music, I'd like to ask uh-huh. you what people will hear and see when they come to you at Explore Booksellers on Thursday.
Well, there we'll have the book there, and if enough people kind of settle in for long enough, I'll probably do a short reading from the book. There's a children's narrative threaded throughout the dense analytical writing, and that's so parents and children can kind of understand it together, and the narrative relates to the science and philosophy in the writing. This first book is part of a series called Singular Architecture, which I mentioned, and it's the first of 64 of these small books. And part of the reason this is so dense is because it includes kind of the umbrella concepts. So I have the narrative that's going to be threading through there, and I might do some reading if people settle in. And then we also have, there's going to be maybe a little sneak peek of this new book that I just published called Flashlight, 9 Girls' Stories for Grown-Ups. And it's basically a series of 9 short stories, and I'm kind of more officially launching that during the week of Sundance up in Park City.
Oh, okay.
But they'll have a couple of copies on hand, and then it'll be available for order there as well. So, because I just had a handful of them printed out while I was down in Santa Fe a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, it'll be casual, but I might play. Maybe I'll bring my guitar and play a little music there too. That always kind of makes it a little more fun.
Speaking of which, let's hear a couple tunes before I have to let you go.
All right, cool.
If you just joined us, we have Heather Hoeksema live in the studios here at KD&K.
So this first song is called The Road Show, and it's RODESHOW. Kind of my little getting over past experiences, maybe. But it's also the title of the album that I'm in the process of producing, too. One in the morning came without warning. He snuck into my room, he started swarming. 2 o'clock came around, he didn't make a sound. I asked you if you felt as your feet touch the ground, and I said, hey, thought you loved me, that's okay. Ain't that the way these things go anyway? Another hour came and then you went. We talked of our fears, Jesus, we were so spent. 4 o'clock came alive in the beehive. The apostles took notes on your wheels, you would drive your way home. All I wanna know now, which way'd you go? Did you take it fast or slow? All I wanna know now, did you make it home? Did you drive too fast or go slow? Clock shined 5 as the show went live. You knocked at my door, what excuse you derived? I don't wanna know, 'cause you're home now. All I wanna know, did you like it fast or slow? You're home now, let's skip the road show. Sun's coming up, I hear the wind start to blow. All I wanna know, do you love me? Did you like it fast? Did you like it slow? All I wanna know. House was warming, bee calm swarming. Just past 6, sky clouds dark started storming. 6:10:07, the darkness parted toward heaven. The apostles are gone and your engine revving. And I said, hey, you love me. Should we take it fast? Should we take it slow? I don't wanna know. Figure eights round, round, there was silence and sound. These children we lay in our love we had drowned. I wanna know, do you love me? Do you love me? More than the road show.
Heather Hoeksema, live at KDNK. Do you have a CD? Have you produced any CDs?
I did the demos, and they're just every time I listen to them and re-record, they get better. So I'm in another wormhole.
Interesting. Well, we have time for another tune if you would play one for us.
Okay.
Thank
this
you.
Is that was the first one that I wrote for this album, and this is the most recent one. This is a little more rough around the edges. We'll see how I do. Oh, this is called Pole Position.
Pole Position.
Pole Position. It's kind of, there's some role reversal going on between the voyeur and the dancer. Pole position to your one-way vision. Three, blind ambition on your fast-track mission. Taking them out with every quick decision. Sure was nice to meet ya. Front row seat, tasty and sweet. Switch right, left, 10 times, repeat. Fantastic, static rush to retreat. Can you please repeat ya? Pole position, grand new vision to my indecision. Heavy load, wheels almost slowed. I think you're gonna implode. Exploitation of your Morse code. Dig that sound, you beat ya. Soul revision, fix taken out. Your next acquisition. One step, two step, any way a through shot. Black rip, blue strip, boarding on the cruise ship. Secrets always best kept, itching for a true trip. Sure was nice to cheat ya. Role play, transition, working the cracks of your deepest vision. hook, better wash the bait. Cut off the head, it's time to skate. Sure was nice to eat ya.
Heather Hoeksema, live at KDNK. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Heather's website, singulararchitecture.com?
Yes.
Or is it .org? .com.
That one's .com, yeah.
And
the CD, I actually have the CD available for pre-purchase on that, too, along with the books.
Oh, okay.
Both books. And yeah, but buy them at Explore. Don't buy them there.
And at Explore, what next Thursday, what time is your reading?
5:30.
Mm-hmm. Thursday the 4th.
Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks for dropping by and telling us all about it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.